Well, good evening.
Good evening.
We have a good number of hands with us. I certainly appreciate that you've come to worship God with us tonight. Marvin Gaye songs. It's always good to have Marvin Gaye song titles in your lesson. What's going on? I tell you something I learned. I did not know this until I was preparing for this lesson. On the album title, there's no question mark. So he's not asking what's going on. He's telling us what's going on. That's another lesson for another day. We're asking the question, what's going on? I had Brother Luke read to us from Matthew chapter 24 about wars and rumors of wars. And the idea that we can seem like the world is going crazy around us. I mean, we wonder what's going on. And you ever get in kind of a cycle where it seems like bad thing after bad thing after bad thing happens, and you just keep stubbing your toe, and you look around, and you almost want to seep into despair. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but we've been going through some rough times. Now, we've been taking it well, and our spirit is good. But I did this lesson with you in mind. And when I say you, I mean everybody in this room. Everybody has been touched by some kind of tragedy or illness within the last 3 or 4 months. I did this list before my wife got sick and before Ruby had a second heart attack. So as we read this list, just think about it. And I'm sure I'm missing. I'm sitting here thinking about this list. This is not everybody. But in the last few months, the following things have happened to members of our congregation. 4 close family members passed away, including one of this congregation's founding members. 2 people who worship with us have been diagnosed with cancer. Family members outside of our circle have as well. One of our members, this is Miss Ruby, had a heart attack in surgery, and she had another heart attack this morning. I know of at least 1 close family member to a family here that is on hospice care. Another has a health problem that is changing his career. We have been blessed with 2 babies, but with both those births, the mother and child each individually had to go back for further medical care. This doesn't include people dealing with other health issues, including one of our members here who has debilitating depression to the point we haven't seen her in almost a year. That's a lot. That's just in the last little bit. That can seem overwhelming sometimes. We can seem like the world is coming apart, and that's what Jesus was trying to say there, wars and rumors of wars. The reason he brings that up is that causes fear and doubt in our mind. And sometimes we can have so many things touch us personally in our lives that we wonder, what's going on? What's going on? Well, in Acts chapter 27, you think you've got a lot going on in your life. Paul has been arrested on false charges. He's been thrown in a Roman jail. He's been sat there to rot for over 2 years. Finally, he's getting what he wants, a trial in Rome. He's on his way. He's sailing. And what happens to him? Shipwreck and snake bite. Paul had to be wondering what's going on. In the next chapter, in Acts chapter 28, Paul finally gets to Rome. Is he so depressed he can't move? Is he so woe is me? By the way, he refers to the fact he's wearing a chain at the time he's talking about these things. Does he just lay down and give up? Does he think God has forgotten him? No. Paul is at work for the gospel. Acts chapter 28, verse 30 and 31, a description of Paul and his life there in Rome. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Paul's flame had not gone out. He was dedicated to the work of the Lord. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians 11. This is this list where Paul goes through all of the different things that go on in his life. Because the temptation for us can be twofold. It can be to say, how can, you've heard this phrase so many times, right? How can God let bad things happen to good people? And we can kind of get down about that and doubt God or doubt our faith in God. The other thing is we can just kind of lose our motivation for God. We can think so many bad things happening that we can't be of service to God. As we read this list, we're going to read Paul's list, and then we're going to read his reaction to it. Let's remember that, you know what? Trials are a blessing. Listen, it ain't no fun. I'm not saying they're fun. But trials are a blessing. And this is what Paul says. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24 reads like this. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. For a night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. I don't know what you're going through. I'm going to guess it's slightly less than that list. You know what Paul said? To God be the glory. Because what people see in us and what people see in you when we go through trials is strength and faith and God. Because if they see us and everything's going great, they might get to thinking that it's by our strength. Worse yet, I may get to thinking it's by my strength. Look at what Paul says in the next chapter. It's really just the concluding of the same conversation. Look at chapter 12. We'll read verses 8 through 10. Paul here is talking about on top of all this, he had a thorn in the flesh. On top of all the exterior things he had going on, he had some medical condition that he wished would go away. And God said, that's all right. I got you. That's a redneck paraphrase of Paul saying, my grace is good enough for you. But look at what Paul says about all these things. Verse 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 reads like this. He says, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. If you've never been around someone who died in faith without fear, you do not know what encouragement is. You do not know what it means to be strong when you're weak.
Can it seem like the world is falling apart?
Yes. Sometimes it really is falling apart. Sometimes bad things are happening. But if I'm a Christian, everything I do should go to the glory of God. Should go to His praise. God is on our side. How did Paul get through all those things? He said there in Acts chapter 27, by the way, when he's about to be shipwrecked, he said, the Lord came and stood beside me at night. Never forget that. The Lord is with us at all times. The Lord is there to strengthen us and be with us. He never forgets us. The Bible says His eye is on the sparrow. Our hairs are numbered. God is there. He will build us up. He cares for you. If you don't get anything outside this lesson, this is the whole point. If you want to know the point of this lesson, I know it's hard sometimes. God cares for you. Stay in 2 Corinthians, if you don't mind, and turn to chapter 4. Paul is going to expound on this very same idea. He's talking about jars of clay, and he's talking about the blessings that we have of God and Jesus Christ, and how God has used the weak things of this world. Remember we talked about that from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2. The weak things to shame the strong and the foolish things to shame the wise. The same idea is carried out here in 2 Corinthians 4. I'll read 7 through 18. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show the surpassing power belongs to God and not us. We are afflicted afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not dismayed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, the things that are unseen are eternal. Do you have faith in Jesus Christ? You've never seen him. Paul said that's where we look. Writer of Hebrews said the same thing. Looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the right hand of God. We may be beaten down in body, but not in spirit. Christian, don't you let the world get you down. Don't you let Satan get you down. We have something great in store for us. We have salvation. We have Christ living in us, strengthening us, encouraging us. Our hope has been taken beyond the veil that is anchored at the throne of God. I'm going to heaven. It's going to be great. Praise God. Praise God. Don't you fear. Don't you fear. Don't you fear. Because God is with us. He strengthens us. The things that happen to us in this life are for His glory. When people see you make it through, when people see that you're not beaten down by this world, they will wonder, what is wrong with that person? What is right with that person? It may be wrong according to the world, but it is right according to God. That verse in Hebrews chapter 12 comes after Hebrews chapter 11. The tail end of that passage has this nameless group of people who were murdered in horrible ways, sawn in two. How did they get through life? By faith. They had faith and they didn't even have Jesus. That's kind of the point of what the writer's saying here. We have better promises. We have a better Savior, a better high priest, Jesus the Christ, at the right hand of God. Look to him. Have faith in him. Remember, he is always with you. I will not forsake you, Jesus says. Never leave you. So there are two things I want you to get from this lesson. Look to Jesus and be ready. What can we do when trials are around us? Christians can look to Jesus. Those who are not are Christians who are backslidden, who need to repent. We can get ready. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. This will be brief. I realize, by the way, I've kind of taken advantage of you on Sunday morning lately. I'm trying to give it back to you tonight. So we're going to quit here pretty soon. This is the verse that Brother Luke read to us, Matthew chapter 24. We'll begin in verse 6. I would argue with you that Jesus is mainly talking about the destruction of Jerusalem here. For those of you who are familiar with this passage, there's a lot to discuss here, and I don't intend to do that. For just the sake of tonight's lesson, let's just realize that Jesus is saying there are going to be a disruption in this world. Don't lose faith. Be ready. That's the idea. So this is the passage where Jesus says there are going to be terrible things that will try to cause fear in your heart. That's the idea. Do only let the things going on around us cause fear in our heart. Verse 6, Matthew chapter 24. And Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. They will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed. For this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation
will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. That doesn't sound like any fun, does it? You have a lot of people who, Brother Dave, kind of, I wish you were here tonight to hear me reference this. A lot of people try to scare people into thinking about the rapture or the premillennialism. They will use this verse. They will say, oh, look around. There are wars and rumors of war. Let me tell you something. There have been wars and rumors of war since the world began. That's not the point. The point is, don't fear. Be ready. Don't fear. Don't be troubled. Be ready. Let's finish the passage. Verse 9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will all be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Preacher, when is this lesson getting better? And then many will fall away and betray one another, hate one another. Many false prophets will arise, lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come.
The end is coming. Whether it be the end for Jerusalem or the end of the world, either way, our duty is the same. Be ready. I'm going to guess many of you know that I'm going to the next chapter. First couple of verses of chapter 25. Jesus, after having this long prophecy about destruction and terror and troubling things that will happen and people falling away and the end coming, you know what he says our response? You know, we can argue about the prophecy. And man, if you've never argued with somebody about this, you can just go have yourself a big time. The point is this. Be ready. Jesus tells them a story about 10 virgins. You've heard this before. Right? There are 10 virgins. They're getting ready for the big marriage feast. And 5 of those virgins brought extra oil. Well, as sometimes happens with weddings, everything doesn't always go as planned. And there's a wait time that goes on. And 5 of the virgins burn up all their oil. And then the bridegroom comes and everybody says, come on, let's go and meet the bridegroom. And these 5 foolish virgins, the Bible calls them, say, well, we don't have any oil. Well, you give me some of your oil. Let me tell you something. When the Lord comes, it's too late. This is the point of the parable. We have to be ready. For the Lord comes at an hour when we know not. Christians aren't troubled by tribulations in this world. Christians don't worry about wars and rumors of wars. We know the King. We're in the kingdom. We know our inheritance is secured by Jesus Christ. Verse 10, chapter 25, we'll read the tale of the story here. And while they were going to buy, that is, buy oil, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, open to us. Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. There is no doubt that we will go through tribulation in this life. There is no doubt. For the Christian, in our weakness, we display the strength of God. When we are physically weak, when things are out of our control and circumstances are beyond our ability to change them, and we have faith, and people see us have faith and endurance and even a smile, and even, yes, to echo this morning's lesson, a praise God. Because I don't care what happens to you, for the Christian, I have salvation. Every day is a good day. Every day is a good day. If you're not a Christian, what would Jesus say to you? He would say what? Be ready. Because we do not know when the hour will come. If you're not a Christian, become one tonight. Be ready for the Lord to come. If you are a Christian, Remember that Jesus is always on our side. Remember that we can always pray. Remember that the Holy Spirit knows the words we cannot even imagine to say. We're so hurt sometimes we can't even know the right thing. God is with us. His Holy Spirit dwells with us. He communicates to God for us. Romans chapter 8. He strengthens us. He comforts us. Are you a Christian? If you're not, you're missing out, is all I can tell you. Change that tonight. If you're going through tough times, know that we love you. Know that we as a church pray for you. Know that Jesus is always on your side. If you're not a Christian, be born again into the family of God tonight as we stand and as we sing.